Hello and welcome to the Gadget Show podcast, the place where we deep dive into the world of tech, uncover the biggest stories, and if I've got anything to do with it, occasionally throw in the odd air fryer. But today we're talking about mobiles.
Yes, as Susie said, we're breaking down all the biggest announcements from Mobile World Congress, foldables, AI-powered this, that, and everything else, and the most ridiculous concepts on display. Plus, we're taking a closer look at Apple's brand new MacBook Air. Is it worth the hype, or just another very pricey refresh?
But let's start with a few comments then from our lovely viewers and listeners. There's been a fantastic response to our Is Physical Media Dead chat, starting with Kermit's Ghost, who says physical media may shrink to some degree, but it will not disappear or stop just like vinyl. There are many collectors out there with streaming sites forever increasing their prices and now including adverts. I believe people will revert back to physical copies of their favourite movies or TV shows.
I agree.
That way they get the original content and not cut or edited streaming versions, plus the picture quality and sound quality is a whole lot better for physical media.
There's also,
I think we're both
also
on your side.
So political changes as well, you know, whichever way the wind is blowing, and suddenly you can't access, you know, comedy series that you used to be able to watch because apparently they're messaging, we're not adult enough now to actually, you know, receive the message. That's another reason why having physical media is good, because you get to keep what you want to watch. So I agree, Kermit's Ghost. Love the name, by the way. And also there's the physical trading thing, which we keep coming back to, don't we? And I think we're going to do something about that in next week's episode. Anyway, Arbanon Script, another interesting name. You didn't mention the beloved and short-lived mini disc. Well, Arban, you're right. We haven't mentioned the mini. I had one for, you know, it feels like a fleeting moment in time before I kind of defaulted to CDs on my hips. In the time between my cassette player and my mini disc player, when I used to go out on my rollerblades around Hyde Park back in the day. I loved the mini disc.
You and Cliff Richard, eh?
Me and Cliff. But of course,
I always think of you two together.
But the thing with
Wired
the mini
for
disc,
sound.
It was sort of the, it was the entry level format for what is now the kind of content creation generation. What I mean by that is I remember doing kind of out and about reporting, right, with a mini disc recorder. And that was interesting. So it was digital recording for, you know, for the normal person on the street. Whereas before that, it had been the analog medium of cassettes. And of course, CDs, well, you couldn't record on the go onto a CD, because you're not that I can remember.
No. So there you go. Arbanon Script. Mini discs, well and truly mentioned.
Hell
there.
Yeah.
Big Paulie sounds like something out of a mafia.
Yeah.
But, he says, or she says, physical media will not die. Another physical media fan. Yeah. Just look at the vinyl revival and DVDs are selling like hotcakes. I can see the eventual decline of streaming media, though. Millions of people have already left streaming, and with them adding ads and raising prices, it's putting people off. So a kind of, you know, re-hit of Kermit's Ghost there and the same kind of belief. I'm not... A DVD selling like hotcakes then? Because there was a point where you couldn't give them away.
It's a very interesting statement that is actually, Big Paulie. I don't know what data there is to suggest that, but I know what you mean. Like, I feel like I've seen a lot of DVDs on racks recently. There's a lot of charity shops, I'm sure there are in most UK high streets actually, but in our local high street, loads and loads of charity shops. And one of the things I really love is having a look at the DVDs and picking up one for a couple of quid. So I don't know. I tell you what, all this chat has made me think. I don't know if I mentioned this on a previous show, but I've had this idea since. The notion of doing a VHS rental store pop-up, I think that would be really interesting.
And you could do your VHSs and you could do your DVDs and you could have everything in your pop-up, couldn't you?
You could. And the reason I think it would be fun is it would bring a sense of rarity to it. There would be a kind of novelty. Imagine in a student town where they could go and rent a VHS for £2.50 or something, and you get, you know, you could do a popcorn and pop deal to go with it. And it just becomes a thing. You've got to walk and get it. You've got to walk back. You play it. The adverts are a bit shite at the beginning, and the quality is not particularly good. Hey, you couldn't say that on the old Gadget Show, could you? You couldn't say shite. We can say it on our podcast anyway.
What you're doing there is creating an actually lovely social experience as well.
Yeah.
But can I just say, you've got to sell Haagen-Dazs and you've got to sell Revels.
Without a shadow of a doubt. Revels. Brilliant.
Revels. I just always had them when I went to Blockbuster. Anyway, look, let's move on. We love your messages. Keep them coming, please. And if you fancy a VIP pass to the Gadget Show, then make sure that you've subscribed to our Patreon page. It's the best way to support the podcast and get even more great content from us two idiots.
So, yeah, we're actually doing it the upside down. We don't punish you with adverts like it feels some of the streaming platforms are doing. No, we enable you to have no adverts by becoming a member of our Patreon family, all right? But that's just the start. You also get access to exclusive episodes like my upcoming much-vaunted loft tour, stroke lock-in tour, right? Where I've got all of my gadgets. So I feel a little bit bad because last summer I had a grand car boot sale. My son was looking to raise money for himself, right? Not for like charity, for himself, right? And he persuaded me to put loads of gadgets in the car boot sale. And it was the best car boot sale ever. I had queues round the block. I was selling things like, you know, like computer gaming monitors and, you know, like streaming gear. You know what I mean? Like stuff that I'd been sent over the years that was really valuable, but I just wanted to get rid of it. But I've still got some choice items, and we will be doing that tour, and it'll be available exclusively to our Patreon members.
So you won't have to imagine what it's like to be locked in Jason's loft anymore. You can actually experience it. Also, you can get the incredible chance to join us live in our shiny Birmingham studio, getting hands-on with some very cool tech. So how good is that?
Yeah. Okay. So what are you waiting for? Head to our Patreon page now.
There's a link in the description, so we will see you there. Right, Jace, we've now got so much tech-packed news straight from Barcelona, where, of course, Mobile World Congress 2025 took the city by storm last week. It's the biggest event in mobile tech, and let me tell you, the halls were absolutely packed with everything from foldable screens to AI-powered phones. And if you don't know about Mobile World Congress, because obviously, you know, Jace and I have been there many times. I used to host it, actually, with Otis years ago. It's immense. It takes over the whole of Barcelona. You cannot get a flight or a hotel that weekend if you're trying to go
to
as
paella.
A tourist. Yeah, exactly that. They take over the TV stations. It is immense. And, you know, traditionally it's where, obviously, phone companies have gone, minus Apple, to launch new products. But there's also lots of gadgety goodness, lots of kind of weird stuff and concept stuff, which I always loved to see. So we're going to talk a little bit about that as well.
Yeah, great. Good stuff. So we've seen some seriously mind-blowing innovations, some weirder than weird concepts, and, of course, so much AI hype, because let's be honest, if your gadget isn't powered by AI, and for those only listening, I just did big air quotes, in 2025, is it even worth bothering? So I think we're starting off with Lenovo, who...
Yeah.
Okay, so Lenovo, for me, I'm a big fan of Lenovo. I've never done anything with them, never worked for them, sent an advert for them, just genuinely as a tech expert. They are a really kind of out there brand. I love what they do in terms of form factor and extra bits and, you know, quirky design innovations.
Yeah. Thinking out of the box.
Yeah. And this, quite literally out of the box, they once again have been pushing the boundaries, particularly actually this year in terms of laptop design at Mobile World Congress. So first up is their ThinkBook codename Flip AI PC. Nice, natty, short title. This concept features an 18.1-inch outward folding OLED display, all right, allowing it to transform from a traditional laptop into a larger tablet-like device. So imagine a laptop sat in front of you, right? And then you can literally grab the screen, I think. I might be getting this wrong, actually, but let's just go for it. And I forget whether you pull it or you fold it, but you can extend it vertically, right? It's super, super cool. Okay, I've got a description here. Imagine unfolding your laptop to get more screen real estate for multitasking or presentations. It's a glimpse into the future of flexible computing. That was a quote, but I think that was a fair approximation of it. Susie, thoughts?
Well, screen real estate, first of all.
We like
I love that.
That. Yes.
No, I love the process. I love the thought of it. And you know, we were talking about it in the Gadget Show 15 years ago. I think we did a challenge, you and I, about this kind of thing and creating a concept model. So, you know, here it is.
Let me just jump in. There's one thing I want to tell you because it's just come to mind. I'm so sorry. This is probably best explained. I just don't think I did a very good job of explaining it. This is best explained. If, for example, you are a, let's say you're an estate agent, okay? Don't start hating on me. You're sat opposite a couple that want to buy a house, right? You can have your laptop in front of you with your screen up and you're looking at the house details that you want to sell them, for example, or whatever. But you can fold the screen down so that they've also got a screen in front of them. So they're across the table from you. And then, or you're a designer, you're making someone a new design for their home office or something, and they're sat the other side of the desk. You bring the design up and you can mirror it on the bent half of the screen that they're looking at on the other side of the table. Or you can then fold it upright and you've got this big vertical screen that you can have for, you know, streaming or multiple documents.
18 inch, isn't it? I think 18.1 inch. Amazing. Is the outward folding screen.
Yeah.
And you know, when you describe it like that, it's one of those things where you're like, that's obvious. Why have we not done that before? Flip over and share it.
I agree. I just love it. I love the boldness of it. And forgive that coming from me, clearly with no hair. It's a different spelling of bold, but it's bold and it's out there. And I like it because it takes balls to do that. You know, to go to your boss to say, we need $1 million or whatever to develop this completely out there design. And they've done it. And I think it's interesting. I don't know if I'd take a risk on it myself. Do you know what I mean? Is it going to survive my bag as I bum around London on me roller boots?
Hey, look, well, we're happy to test it, Lenovo. So, you know, stick it in the post. I'll take it traveling. Hey, also, let's not forget the Yoga Solar PC, which Lenovo has decided to integrate solar panels into the laptop's lid, which kind of enables it to harness, you know, the sunlight for charging. So while it's still in the very much in the prototype stage, I need to say here, it could obviously lead to much more sustainable computing solutions, and especially for users on the go.
Like you, for example. Like, can I just say this, though? Who's had this issue? And you'd know better than I do because you spend loads of time in sunnier climes than the UK, where I predominantly spend my time, right? But even in the UK, I've had moments when I've had my phone or my tablet, my iPad, out on the table in the summer months, and it gets so blooming hot that it overheats. So how are you going to charge your laptop or supplement the charge? I think they're only talking about supplementing or topping it up, aren't they? And not have heat issues with your processor. You get what I mean? It's all about the opposite. You don't want it to get hot. You almost want it out of the sun to keep the battery functioning.
You kind of want that midpoint, don't you, where it's not going to overheat. Do you know what? That's a very, very good point. I have it all the time that I look at my phone and it's overheating. Like, oh, I should have put it in the shade.
But that's because you're in some exotic, you know, MotoGP location, isn't it?
Well, might be. But yeah, I hear what you're saying. And obviously that's an issue. You want that midpoint that's just got the sunlight and not the heat, really.
Yeah.
I don't know how they do that technically, but I'm interested to hear from anybody that might know. Right, let's talk about Xiaomi's modular optical system.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think we're both quite excited about, aren't we? So they've introduced this system for smartphones. And basically, it's a concept that enables users to attach magnetic lenses to your device. So you keep your smartphone and then you attach your lens. And that enhances, obviously, your photographic capabilities without the need for bulky external equipment. So, you know, whether you're looking for a fisheye effect, a enhanced zoom, wide angle, whatever, these attachments offer flexibility for mobile photography enthusiasts. And I just want to say here, it is a sort of polished prototype, so it's only a concept at the moment. But it's got what they're talking about is a 100 megapixel light fusion sensor, which actually, with the system that they've developed, is better than any phone that you've got.
I mean, it's
any camera on any phone currently.
And it's such an interesting idea. For those that aren't familiar with this, let me explain it to you. You've got your phone, And then you've got what would look like a kind of lens that you would just buy for your digital SLR, like a proper big fat little chunky lens. And it magnetically connects to the back of the phone. And then via some, you know, actual witchcraft, you're able to use it to focus. You can get like, I think it was 15 stops of dynamic range. I'm just doing this from memory, so fact check me on that. But it's something like that. You can, you know, proper raw, like it's like a proper mirrorless or DSLR level.
It's not Mickey Mouse at all.
Photo quality. No, it isn't, is it? And it's heavy. It's got real glass in it. It's such an interesting idea. Like to give you a sense, you could almost use the lens without the phone, couldn't you? Like it's all in the lens, clearly. And then they communicate via, I don't know, I'm going to say Bluetooth, but I don't know that it's that.
Yeah, I think it is. And it works with the app, doesn't it?
Yeah. And it's just genius. And don't they chuck in a bit of AI? For good measure, which always worries me a little bit. You know, is it going to give me like digital Botox or something without me asking? Hey, you like that? Got your attention there, didn't I?
I'd like that.
You don't need it,
AI, darling. Digital Botox at all times. But if you saw me in real life, it'd be horrific.
I've seen Susie in real life. It's anything but horrific.
Thank you.
It's facial poetry. But anyway, moving on.
Oh, what have you had for your breakfast? Where are we?
Realme's DSLR integration. Can we talk about that one?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so Realme are doing a similar thing to, what are they called? Xiaomi,
yeah.
They've taken smartphone photography to the next level with a concept that allows actual DSLR lenses to be attached directly to smartphones. So their smartphones, by Realme, they're making a real play for the market. They've decided to go down the opticals route. And you've got this very gorgeous looking phone with a kind of screw fit section over the camera array and a sensor. Yeah, and a clear sensor in the middle, right? Which only comes into play when you grab, is it M-type lenses? What are they called? The ones from Leica. I use E-mount, M-mount, whatever the mount is. You get different mounts for different types of lenses if they're a Sony lens or a Leica lens. This is just for Leica lenses. You properly screw it onto your mobile phone, and off you go with you know DSLR actual proper glass. I don't know what the internals of the phone are like. I don't know what the kind of megapixel count is, but I do know that putting some sort of vintage Leica lens onto a mobile phone, that's what you could do because the M mount thing allows you to do that. It is a brilliant idea, absolutely brilliant.
So sort of imagine capturing high quality images and depth and clarity all on your smartphone.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, obviously cameras on smartphones are better than they've ever been and they're good and everything. But in terms of, you know, actual blow it up to the size of a wall and stick it on your wall pictures, this is what we're talking about here, really.
I'm going to do that just to freak my wife out, my face in the bedroom.
Ooh. Eh?
Blowing. You said blowing a face up, yourself up, putting it on the wall. It is M mount, by the way. I just double checked because I couldn't remember. That's the size of mount for Leica. But I will say this much, Suze, Leica lenses are not cheap, are they?
No, absolutely not. But I mean, we're all obviously totally in love with them.
Yeah. Can I just tell you how much this one is? Literally the first one that came up in my little search, right? Used Leica lens here, right? And it's only a small one, £1,699.
It's for you know, serious photographers, though, you know.
It is. Like John Bentley, for example. Exactly. He'd love this, wouldn't he?
Yeah, so I suppose the key points here are the lens compatibility, as you were talking about there. So standard DSLR lenses.
Yeah.
The mounting mechanism, it's very secure.
Yeah.
And the image processing. So, you know, it utilises smartphones ISP for processing.
Yeah.
All really interesting.
Yeah, and you know, again, they we keep revisiting these sectors, don't we? And they get better and better. At first, they feel like a little bit of something trivial, like a foldable screen. A couple of years down the line, something actually usable comes along. And the same thing I would say is happening to, you know, kind of extra phone lenses. Good stuff.
Yeah, it's interesting that we've got two big stories on that, isn't it, really? Can we have a talk about Infinix's solar-powered charging case?
Yeah, this looks interesting.
So Infinix, has unveiled a solar-powered smartphone case that offers wireless charging capabilities. So the case basically absorbs sunlight and converts it into energy, providing an eco-friendly charging solution for users. And it's particularly beneficial for those who spend a lot of time outdoors or in regions with ample sunlight, as we were, you know, talking about earlier.
Obviously not launching in the UK then.
Well, they might have done this week. We had a sunny week. I'm just bigging up the old...
Oh, it was good.
This is our summer.
I mean, look, so I don't know why I'm being so cynical about this, right? Because I have long held the belief that if you go down the old exponential rabbit hole, right, then solar energy is subject to the same exponential leaps in efficiency and cost saving that any other technology connected to information technology is. And so that means that what we're seeing is that curve getting steeper, and then the result is a much more efficient, smaller, cheaper solar performance, you know, thing, solar widget. And yes, so it goes that, so, you know, initially they're only big enough for industry, then they're, sorry, small enough for industry, then the solar panels are small enough to put on your own roof at home, until we get right down to laptops and then mobile phones. So it does sort of match the model and the prediction. It's just this same issue again. Aren't you trying to do the opposite with a mobile phone than put it in the sun? Doesn't that make it harder to see and heat it up? And if it's my phone, it eventually just falls over and tells you, you know, you've got to put it in the fridge for 5 minutes, which is what I have
to do. It depends, I suppose. You know, are you putting it in the sun? Are you just putting it in daylight? I mean, if you're outside with your phone and it's charging and it works, it's wireless, and all day long you've got power on your phone because you've been outside. Not, I mean, necessarily in direct sunlight. I'd be up for that.
Yeah, no, you're right. Although they aren't making that claim. They're claiming that it just tops it up a little bit. That's what I got from the kind of couple of interviews I saw with people. The case they're making is a bit more interesting, isn't it? So there's an actual... I may have got this wrong, but I think there's an actual phone. It's built into the phone. They're also doing a case.
The case is what I'm talking
right,
about.
Right, okay. Forgive me. Right, yeah. Which is a bit more doable, isn't it? Because there's a kind of thermal layer between the case and the phone itself. No, it's fascinating stuff. I love it. I think it's really interesting. Wouldn't it be a good idea for us to wear, and I'm being serious, not being silly, to wear solar panels? Some kind of fabric that had a solar, you know, had solar cells built into it, so that you could, or maybe slap them on my top of my bowl patch, because I've got like a landing strip on the back. It's like a flat
helipad. Why would we do that?
I'm just saying, look. Okay, let me explain, because I can't help going down the old comedy route, but I'm being serious, right? You got a jacket, you got a big back, large area of your shoulders. Couldn't you have that as a solar charging area, and then, you know, your mobile phone, which I keep in my inside pocket, gets charged as I go along? Much larger area to receive sunlight.
Well, I mean, I suppose, you know, you have got backpacks that do that, haven't you?
You have. They've been around for a while, haven't they?
So same sort of idea.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather have a backpack, but why not have it in... I mean, it is
do you
in
know
clothing,
what?
Surely.
Do you know what
it
is? It's a gadget. It's an old school... Listen, you're going to love this. It's an old school gadget show build. I'm building solar-powered underpants. I'm face down on a beach in Marbella.
There's not much room there. You've only got a small bum.
It's very true, actually. Not much real estate,
no,
as we've been saying multiple times. Anyway.
Real estate there is an absolute bungalow. Right, moving on. Should we do some honorary mentions?
All right, then, some honorary mentions. Let's start with Samsung's AI integration. So Samsung have showcased how artificial intelligence is set to redefine smartphone usage. It's happening, isn't it? Slowly but surely, with features like automatic photo editing, and device personalization. But yeah, they're doing stuff with AI on mobile phones. It's becoming more personal.
Okay, yeah, so Google's Pixel 9 Pro.
Lovely phone.
That's been awarded Smartphone of the Year at NWC this year, recognised for its exceptional design and user experience. Additionally, the Gemini AI Assistant, which has had loads of publicity, hasn't it? That received the Revolutionary Device Innovation Award, which basically highlights Google's advancements, I think, in AI integration, don't you?
It does. There's some really great functions, like, you know, you can circle things on the phone that you want to get rid of, like you know, Like me. Like if, because no just, one, I think most people don't like themselves when they've been in a picture. So I could just circle myself and not even tell my wife that family picture that she wants to use for the calendar. She'll like, I'm sure you were in that shot. And I'll be like, no, I wasn't.
Could you just replace yourself with like Ryan Gosling or something?
You could certainly replace your face. I mean, look, I'm a little bit of a glutton for the adverts. You know, they do these whimsical voiceover adverts where it looks so easy. All you do is you circle your face and you can change your expression. And then I do it and I look like Nesferatu or something when it's gone through the AI process. Or Gollum. And no, it's the other way around. I look like Gollum actually. Do you know what? I did a video. Can I just sidestep? I did a video the other day. Listen. And someone said it's one. Some of them said it's one of the bank counters from Gringotts.
What?
They said that was like one of the characters from Gringotts Bank.
What's
so,
that?
Internet is so mean. They're like what's horrible, Gringotts like Bank? Troll type things. But they're all, I think they're a bit bold with kind of like tiny bits of hair and stuff.
Oh.
Anything that's bold and ugly, I get called it. And so maybe I need this feature so I can just circle me. And make me anything other than, you know, those horrible fictional characters. This has gone a bit... No, it's not gone where I meant it to go, this.
We've gone a bit left of centre.
The Gemini thing.
Bring it back.
Integration of Gemini is good for the Google Pixel 9 Pro. I'm doing this all from memory now because I've scanned down my script too far. And it's a really great natural language interface with a very powerful AI. And I think it's starting to make the phone experience what it's going, you know, what it should be, which is this notion of having a digital assistant that you can just talk to and simple touch features. It's really exciting, wrapped up in quite an incredible handset.
Can we talk about Nothing, which is a lot of people will be going, that's what you've been talking about for the whole podcast.
Yes.
The Nothing phone.
Oh my God, what a thing.
Yeah, 3A Pro. So Nothing has introduced the phone 3A Pro, featuring a transparent design and a high-end telephoto periscopic camera. So it's a blend of like aesthetic appeal and advanced photographic capabilities.
Now, Marcus Brownlee,
I'm salivating.
Marcus Brownlee said of this phone that it's like having a £1,000 phone from another manufacturer for sometimes less than half the price. They're really putting it out there. And their design is next level. If you do nothing else, and forgive the intentional pun, after this podcast,
Have a look
at it, because it's just beautiful, isn't it, Susie? It's like something, it's like a prop from Blade Runner. And the lights, the way the lights interact on the back of it, and the translucent, as you were mentioning, that sort of translucence that it has. And it's the animation as you swipe, the quality of the screen, the camera, the form factor, and the price, so affordable. And I don't know if they're British, but I think they might be. I went into their showroom in Soho. It was like stepping into like a set from a science fiction movie. It's just I cannot praise this phone enough. To the extent that I might buy one. I'm in the market for a new phone. Would you believe the bloke off the Gadget Show podcast has my phone, daily driver, is it's an iPhone 13 Pro.
So is mine.
Is it really? Are you up for a new phone?
The bloke and the bird. Yeah, absolutely,
The bird.
Yeah, 100%.
I wouldn't get away with it.
For the wow factor.
Yeah.
Try something new. This is a definite candidate.
And have you seen their wireless headphones that go with it? Oh my God, they're gorgeous. Again, they're sort of translucent. You know, so we're talking about the 3A Pro, but they also do a more budget level one, right? Yeah. And that comes in a blue colour, and it just melts me. It's so beautiful. It's like a light electric blue. Oh my God. Just beautiful. Whereas the 3A Pro is that kind of chiaroscuro, he says, channeling Latin, meaning the contrast between black and white. Oh, beautiful.
Can we move on?
No.
I'm just a bit worried that you're sort of melting into your
No, but it's I'm really pleased.
Desire
I love
future.
That you love it too. I didn't know you were a fan.
Let's wrap up this week's episode in terms of Mobile World Congress, shall we?
I've got a mouthful of tea. Carry on.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, outside of Mobile World Congress, Apple didn't never want to be left out in the cold, do they? They also made a load of their own announcements, didn't they?
They did. They've gone a little bit bonkers, actually. Okay, so let's maybe start with the heart of the Apple updates. The introduction of the M4 chip on the MacBook Air. The new chip-laptop combo promises enhanced performance and efficiency, boasting up to 18 hours of battery life. Wow. This is a significant leap from previous iterations, and they claim to be providing users with a seamless computing experience. I mean, it sounds like they are. The interesting thing is, I sound like I'm made of money. I'm really not. But I was also, as well as a new phone, I was also looking at, in fact, is she listening? She might be listening because she listened to this in the car. I was thinking of buying my wife one because she's got this shite old MacBook that she's had for about 87 years. And she, it's so bad. I'm sort of embarrassed by it. And so I thought I would surprise her. Then I looked at my bank balance and I thought, maybe not this month. But I'm glad that I held off because they've refreshed it with this bad boy. So tell us more about what's going on.
Well, if you're thinking about Claire, also your co-pres, you know, you might need to press her as well if you get another little corporate
My broadcast gig. Wife, yeah.
Yeah, your broadcast wife. Because it's not just about what's inside. Apple's introduced a new sky blue colour.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah, it is beautiful. Mm. And it replaces the sort of traditional, slightly passé boring now, space grey, I think.
Yeah, I agree. They do this sort of moonlight blue, which almost looks black as well, which they were they've continued, which is absolutely gorgeous. What is it with blue? It's certainly the colour of the moment. In terms of pricing, this is good as well. They've made the new MacBook Air a little more accessible. The 13-inch model now starts at $999, so £999. While the 15-inch version begins at £1,199. So I think that's pretty damn good for an M4 chip piece of hardware.
Yeah, so pre-orders for these new models is already underway. The availability starts on March the 12th. So if you're in the market for a new laptop, now might be the perfect time to consider the MacBook Air. But Apple didn't stop there because they've also unveiled updates to their iPad lineup, which I think we should discuss.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's start with the 11th generation iPad, or officially known as the iPad A16. The new entry-level iPad is powered by the A16 Bionic chip. If I'd only known when I was watching Steve, what's his name? The Bionic Man.
Oh, no, Steve Austin.
Steve Austin, that when I was grown up, we'd actually have a real Bionic chip, offering a significant boost in performance compared to its predecessors. It features an 11-inch liquid retina display and comes in storage options ranging from 128 gigs through 256 gigs, right up to a whopping 512 gigs. Notably, it supports both the first generation Apple Pencil and the USB-C Apple Pencil, providing flexibility for users who engage in creative tasks. Yeah, I do. I do on my iPad. I love Procreate with my old school Apple Pencil. What a thing that is.
Yeah. They always make it sound so sexy, don't they, as well? Pre-orders are available now with the official release date. That's also March the 12th.
Okay, so that was the normal iPad. Moving on to the iPad Air lineup. If you can keep up, you're a better man than I. Apple has introduced models featuring the new M3 chip, delivering enhanced performance and efficiency, which mean that the new two sizes, 11-inch, starting at $599 and the 13-inch at $799, support advanced accessories like the Apple Pencil Pro now and the newly designed Magic Keyboard, which is rather snazzy with its USB-C input thingy and its, you know, what is it? Aluminium hinge. Gorgeous thing that is. It's got this built-in trackpad as well, which obviously is good for functionality.
Yeah, okay. Apple's also integrated more AI capability. Shock horror! Under the Apple Intelligence Initiative. Features like email summarization, which I'm not a massive fan of, I have to say, and photo editing are now more intuitive. Perhaps it'll be better now. So that's supposed to enhance the overall user experience.
Yeah, well, it seems like that's what they're all about, isn't it? Providing sort of, you know, sort of versatile tools for casual users and professionals. I would say I sit in the middle, really. I don't use any of my Apple... I suppose I use my iPhone for professional content, but my iPad, I play around drawing things and I watch content and stuff. Oh, I did some writing of my film script on there, actually. That was quite good.
Did you?
Yeah, I could have done with that.
What
new
did you use for your keyboard case. Then?
I've got an old school sort of standalone Bluetooth keyboard. You know, you can use the iPad now with this current version of iOS with mouse, keyboard. It's actually really easy with Bluetooth keyboards and that. Really good. So, you know, the integration of powerful chips now means that the more advanced professional side of the market get to have a much smaller, more portable, thinner device than a standard laptop. I'm all in favour. Love it.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
We have covered some stuff there. I'd like to say that's all for today's episode, but that was a lot for today's episode of the Gadget Show podcast. Please stay tuned for more updates and in-depth analyses on the latest tech releases. Until next time, keep exploring the world of gadgets. That's what it says there.
Send us all your thoughts and comments, and we'll see you next time.
Ta-ra!
The Gadget Show podcast with Jason and Susie was presented by Jason Bradbury and Susie Perry off the telly. It was produced by Ewan Keel and Tom Clint and is a North One production.